Dear people of God, I read the other day about a University of Washington researcher who calculated the value of various substances that make up the human body. This researcher said that the body has about 10,000 units of clotting agent called prothrombin, which he says would sell for about $30,000. And there's another 40 grams of blood component called myoglobin that's worth about $100,000. This researcher said that if we total the total market value of all the different chemicals within your body, we'd be worth at least $1 million. I don't know if that's fact, Dr. Stephen, but this is what I read. And we can kind of smile at all that, but the fact is, we can't put a value on the worth of our human bodies. The Bible in Genesis 2 verse 7 describes the moment when God gathered up some dust from the ground and God miraculously fashioned it into a man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And thereby man became the first living human being. And then God smoothed off the rough edges of that man, and he created a woman. Now, the human body is no fluke of evolution's process. It's God's design and handiwork. As the Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." I know that full well. The human body is the ultimate synthesis between function and beauty. Our most advanced technology pales in comparison to the intricacies and the capabilities of the human body. As any new parent will tell you, with the birth of a new baby, the human body truly is God's masterpiece. So why did God give us these incredible bodies? So that we can use them to honor God in this world. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." And as much as the world tells us otherwise, we don't own our own bodies. As Christians, our bodies were bought with a steep price, with the shed blood of Jesus. And for what purpose? That our bodies could house God's Spirit. That our bodies could be a channel through whom God can work through us to do His work in this world. And so for us to care for our bodies then is a responsibility that we owe to God. In fact, the Apostle Paul calls this an act of worship in Romans 12 verse 1, where it says, "Therefore I urge you, in view of God's mercy, in view of the fact that what God has all done for you in Jesus, therefore I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." If we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, shouldn't we then offer them to God in the best condition possible? Now, of course, this means avoiding any immoral use of our bodies. But it also means that we do what we can to keep our bodies healthy and useful for God to work through us as long as possible. Now I would think that most of us do care about our human bodies. We are concerned about how our bodies look, how our bodies function, and how we maintain the well-being of our bodies. But I think sometimes we underestimate how much God cares about our human bodies. We often hear about the value God puts on our souls, but we forget how much God cares for our physical selves as well. And to show that, God Himself came into our world in the form of a human body in His Son Jesus. Now that's amazing, if we really think about it. And just like our human bodies, Jesus' earthly body was fearfully and wonderfully made. Jesus' body had 2 feet, 2 hands, 2 ears, a nose, a mouth, and a heart, just like that of our human body. And yet, Jesus' body was also different in the sense that it wasn't tainted by sin, like you or for me. At the time of His conception, His mother Mary was overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the baby Jesus was born sinless. And through the power of God's Holy Spirit, Jesus was able to carry out His ministry of serving hurting and sinful people in this world with the human body that He had as a human being in this world. But not only that, Jesus offered up His body, His life, on a cross, willingly taking on the most intense suffering of the human body that anyone ever experienced. And Jesus did that in His human body to set us free from our sin and to give us hope in the midst of the painful struggles that we experience in this world. As Paul says in verse 20, you were bought with a price. The price of Jesus' own shed blood. The price of Jesus' own shed blood on the cross. And therefore, it says, therefore honor God with your body. So how do we do that? How do we honor God with our bodies? Well, first of all, that we show proper respect for our human bodies. God created each one of us with a totally unique body, and He wants us to take care of our bodies and not to misuse them or to abuse them. Now, many people today worship their bodies, spending many hours in front of the mirror or at the spa to pamper or to doll up their bodies and spending exorbitant amount of money in the process. Now, sadly, there are also many people today who literally destroy or abuse their bodies through substance abuse, through overeating or undereating, through lack of exercise or loose sexual practices that bring on various health issues or sexually transmitted diseases. I read the other day where it said that 40% of North Americans are dealing with some kind of sexually transmitted disease simply because of their promiscuous lifestyle. God wants us to honor Him with our bodies, which means that we do what's necessary to care for the well-being of our bodies as much as possible. Now, Bill Hybels tells a story about how he used to raise motorcycles with some guys from his church. And these guys would show up in their beat-up vans and rickety old trailers, but when it came time to put fuel in their motorbikes, these backyard grease monkeys would turn into chemists. They would take out a jug of high-performance fuel and some of the best synthetic oil on the market, and they would mix it just right, and then they would carefully pour it through a hanky into the tank of their bike. They were the most meticulous about what they put in that tank because they wanted their bike to run at its peak performance. Now think about the fuel that we put into the priceless bodies that God has given us as idols. What kind of things do we put into the tank of our body? Each of us has been uniquely crafted by God Himself, sustained by His caring hand, filled with His Holy Spirit, and given the promise of a bodily resurrection. And knowing all of this, says Hybels, how can we continue to put all kinds of trash into our bodies and naively assume our performance will not be affected? And that's what the Apostle Paul is getting at in our passage in verse 12. Where he says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Now, interestingly, Paul uses that phrase, everything is permissible. He uses that four times in the book of 1 Corinthians, and he uses it twice just in that very verse, in verse 12. Now, the Corinthian Christians that Paul was writing to obviously believed that they could do as they pleased with their bodies. And they could do as they pleased with their whole lives as a whole. Which, of course, is still a very common way of thinking in our world today. Instead of serving God and their neighbor, the Corinthians lived only for themselves and for their own pleasures. If it feels good, do it, was the motto of that day. It's also the motto of many people still today. Now, God certainly gives us the grace to enjoy life, but there are limitations that He puts on such freedom. God has certainly given us the gift of taste buds to enjoy, the gift of food. But sometimes we can have too much of a good thing when it comes to our food and our drink. I know that's a challenge for myself, and I know that's probably some of us, others who are here this morning too. And if we don't eat or drink with moderation, our bodies will soon show it, and we set ourselves up for the possibility of some detrimental health issues. Now, by this point, you might be asking, what in the world do all these physical acts of eating and drinking have to do with my spiritual well-being? Well, in my years as a pastor, I've discovered that a lot of people with food addictions, or other kinds of addictions for that matter, tend not to be very happy with their bodies, which tends to give people a low sense of self-esteem, and invariably that drags people down spiritually. Now, that's not to say that we need to equate good looks or a healthy body with a healthy spirituality, not at all. But again, it comes down to the issue of balance. And it's the same with the gift of our sexuality that Paul talks about in our passage. God created our bodies to desire and enjoy sexual pleasure. But the Bible is very clear that God intends for this sexual pleasure to happen within the context of a committed marriage relationship. Any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage is always for selfish pleasure and invariably sets people up to experience pain in their lives because the commitment just isn't there. And as Paul shows in our text, you actually become one flesh with the person that you have sex with. And a part of you sticks with this person, and vice versa, when people have sex outside of marriage. God intends for us to experience this one flesh as a man and woman within the security of a committed marriage relationship, where husbands and wives, where we serve each other in a self-sacrificial way in every aspect of our relationship, including the most intimate sexual union we experience as husbands and wives. And without that security of marriage, people set themselves up for a lot of emotional pain and brokenness in future relationships with other people. Again, this affects people spiritually a whole lot more than we often realize. Now, thankfully, God is a gracious and forgiving God. God is a God who forgives us for the misuse of our bodies. As Paul says in verse 19 and 20, you are not your own, but you were bought with a price. We were bought with the price of Jesus' own shed blood that was shed on the cross. And by his blood, Jesus wipes away all of our guilt and shame when it comes to past regrets about the way we might have abused or misused our bodies. And not only that, God comes to live within us by his Holy Spirit to enable us to honor God with our bodies in a whole new way in our lives. In fact, Paul speaks of our bodies as a temple of the Holy Spirit in verse 19, which means that we are not owners of our own bodies as our world keeps telling us, but it shows that God is the one who created our bodies, and Jesus is the one who redeemed our bodies by his shed blood, and God's Spirit now comes to live within us to make his home within our bodies. And so for that reason, God now claims ownership of our lives. And God calls us to serve him with our bodies. As Paul says in verse 15, your bodies are members of Christ himself. And that means that we are called to serve as Jesus' hands and feet in this world in the way that we serve other people that he places into our lives on a daily basis. And that speaks against our misuse or abuse of our human body, since that inevitably diminishes our ability to serve him in this world. I mean, think about it. The healthier our bodies, the more energy we will have to serve God and his kingdom purposes in this world. I still remember sitting on an airplane on our way back from a trip to Europe in May of 1991. I was about a year and a half into my ministry as a pastor, and I knew that I was starting to deal with some effects of stress and burnout just from spending too much time in my ministry. And on that plane, I was reading a book, interestingly, by Bill Hybels. And as I was reading that, he challenged me to get serious about my physical and emotional well-being, especially the need for some physical exercise. And that day, I made a commitment to start exercising 3 times a week. And I've now been doing that for the past 28 and a half years. And I call that my sanity treatment. The way it helps me to keep sane through the pressures of ministry and the demands of life itself. And I can't count the number of times when I would feel somewhat stressed or exhausted by the demands of ministry. And sometimes I'd wake up early in the morning and I'd feel tired and exhausted, and I would go to the gym for a workout, and by the end of that workout I would feel re-energized and ready to face the activities of that day. Now, exercise isn't the end of the world, I know that. But our exercise and other means of caring for our bodies is a key to our mental health. And also our emotional well-being very much affects our spiritual well-being. As I've discovered over and over in my pastoral work, when someone is struggling with mental or emotional issues in their lives, invariably that brings a struggle with various spiritual issues in a person's life. God has created us as holistic people, and God wants us to take care of ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually. And again, that comes back to the issue of balance in our lives. Now, admittedly, it will always be a challenge for us to get a grip on our bodies. And one day, each of our sin-stained bodies will be lowered into a grave. But we live with the hope that just as Jesus' body was raised to new life on Easter Sunday, someday God will fully restore each of our sin-weakened bodies. Later in the book of Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul spends a whole chapter to show that just as Jesus was raised from the dead with a glorious new body, so also we will be given brand new bodies today as our physical bodies will be raised to new life. And until that day, we make it our goal to take care of our earthly bodies, to make ourselves available for God to use us. For God to use us for His kingdom purposes, so that we can do that in the best way possible, so that we can do that for the longest time possible, with the greatest amount of energy and the highest degree of emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being. Because we have been bought with a price. We owe it to God to be faithful stewards of our bodies so that we can honor God with our bodies the rest of our days here on this earth. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess to you that we sometimes forget that you call us to honor you with our bodies. We admit that sometimes we end up worshiping or misusing our bodies. Thank you for reminding us this morning that our bodies are a temple of your Holy Spirit, that you have come to live within us by your Spirit to enable us to serve you through our bodies. We pray, Lord God, that you will enable us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to you as our spiritual act of worship. Help us to make a new commitment today to care for our bodies so that we can make ourselves available to be used by you in this world as effectively and as long as possible. We pray, Lord God, that you will lead us by your Spirit as we dedicate ourselves to honor you with our bodies in every aspect of our lives, remembering that we have been bought with a price through Christ our Lord. In his name we pray this. Amen.